say the actions of your character in this movie to the possible end of the world would be to surround them. Did you think a lot about that?
Yes.
Like you have to.
Yeah.
You make a pretty radical decision.
Yes.
In your movie.
I think that this is a character who is so ferociously ambitious. I never admired that in her. I had compassion for what appeared to be a very lonely woman. I didn't respect her for her indifference towards her father. And I've always felt that she's a few years younger than me. Would our reactions to the end of the world be different? I think so. In fact, I know so. It was part of the fun, for lack of a better word, on day 6 of a press junket. I tend to, fun is sneaking into my vocabulary a lot. You can replace that with anything appropriate that you find. I'll go even up to interesting, because that's the only other one I have left. It was interesting to play this character, to know that, to know this difference.
What's your experience been with the press, since you play, in some ways, Jenny Cromwell's character has the lie, you know, you're a reporter, you used to be a person.
But
have you had any bad interactions with the press?
No, not really. I mean, a bad interaction, does that include a bad review? Ouch. So, I guess that would be a bad interaction. But beyond that, I would have to say somewhat the legitimate press has ever crossed any boundaries with me. I think at times it's been very easy, and I'm very comfortable to say I'm not comfortable with that question. It's interesting, however, for this character, I think it's not so much that this is a bad woman or that she's representing the typical journalist who will go too far. But this is a woman who needs a comet in her life. And this statement was made very specifically to her, and it was something that she would hear but not listen to until much later. And it plays a good role. I referenced that line as this character. It was helpful to go back and to feel that, like when you wake up.
Do you think it's possible that Conan comes here?
Do I think it's...
It's possible? Or
I hear. I would certainly be speaking out of turn. Well, maybe not speaking out of turn, but my opinion is worth peanuts. I really don't even know how to find the Big Dipper. But I will tell you that I've heard from these scientists and these technical advisors that we consulted with quite often for this film that, yes, it's a possibility, but not a likely one. And I think people who see this movie, in a way, I want them, when they leave, to forget about that great villain of a comet, because it's not a likely possibility, so we're told.
Okay.
But to think more of all of the other ways in which each of us and family and friends do face the news that we have a limited time, much more limited than we may have thought.
Okay, so this influenced you a little bit?
Yes.
As to whether to see death or to are the relations in between people?
The idea that life is limited was certainly exaggerated while I'm standing on this set.
But it still struck you.
Yes. I mean, it's funny. I guess I think of it in terms of not what my initial speculation seemed to focus around what would I do mostly differently. Would I hang glide? Would I experience this? Would I drop that? And it segued to a discussion of, am I doing right now? And shouldn't I be doing right now what I would do in face of 1 year or 2 years left. I don't know that I'm really clear on that. I'm sort of going the wrong way around, but
it changes your way of thinking. It changes your way of thinking.
Yes. Priorities in particular get reshuffled.
What kind of research did you do for this?
I watched a lot of news. I didn't attach myself to one anchor. I thought that to try and imitate or ape one particular anchor person would probably not reveal itself very well in the film. And also, my character has not anchored before. So I think I knew that she would have watched as well. She would spend a lot of time watching and trying to learn. And so I did that. And I had fun finding a pace for her improvement and her confidence. It was interesting. I had a really good time.
So who did you prefer? What anchor did you prefer this while watching that?
Just for life.
Yes. Real life, though.
I gotta tell you, Diane Sawyer has the best hair. And by such a great margin, I thought, why is it that more anchors don't have hair like Diane Sawyer?
Because they're men.
That is also a possibility. Yes, thank you. So I really did get hung up on that hair for a while.
That first, when you first read the script, and there was a relationship with the cameraman, what did you feel about that?
I wasn't sure. It was not fully developed by the time we began filming. And then I met DeGray Scott, and he is a wonderful actor, very talented, and very unique. And we did film more of a bond between these two. We never filmed the full extent of the relationship, and I'm very glad of that, in that I felt that any kind of to show Jenny Lerner, whose storyline is quite crowded and full, in bed with someone or in a sexual relationship, I thought could only be seen as gratuitous. And I'm sorry that DeGray is not more in this film, but I think that it was a decision based on the relationship between Elijah and Lily, and that the focal point of Jenny Lerner's epiphany in life will really be with her mother and father, her father in particular.
Were there any other major scenes that you were sorry were taken out?
Well, there is this one scene with Vanessa Redgrave that's missing. And the only reason why I like it is because there's this great story behind it. I come and visit my mother at her office, and it is a place where you see Jenny attempt to lift her mother's spirits, that there is a suspicion that her mother is falling away a bit. And I said to Vanessa, I said, you know, let's play with this. What do you say I bring you your favorite chocolate? You know, maybe I know that you love chocolate, because there's something so adorable about her and almost girlish about Vanessa Redgrave at times, that I thought it would be fun to bring her chocolate. So I did. We got the props, and I brought two truffles, and I took mine and she took hers in the middle of the scene, and I licked mine and sort of played with it and put it down, and Vanessa pops it in her mouth in the first minute. And I thought, oh, okay. We did 37 takes of that scene. And at the end of the day, Vanessa said to me, you know, I'm not feeling so good. Are you feeling all right? And I said, yeah, I feel okay. What's wrong? She said, well, you're younger, you know, so the chocolate probably doesn't, but really this is quite a lot of chocolate for me in one sitting. And I said, oh, no, I'm not eating. Mine are all over here, and I put them in a drawer at the end of each cake. So I open the drawer, Vanessa sees 37 truffles sitting there. She goes, oh, God. And I think we had to do it one more time. So Vanessa Redgrave ate 38 chocolates in that scene, and I think for that reason alone, it should be in the film.
Is there any chance that TV series will come back? Or
I don't think so. I'm hearing that the likelihood is not good. And I'm sorry about that. I will mourn that show.
Is there any truth to the rumor that you might...
I know where you're going. No. David's first response was, I'm not a Cuban. This is about us potentially doing this remake of I Love Lucy.
But it would be totally different.
On a very serious note, I would never challenge the throne that does belong to Lucille Ball. Why remake something that was perfect? Never understood that.
What do you plan to concentrate now on television as well?
Well, I think to think about TV, the bed is still warm, and it feels unfaithful. I so miss Holland and Mark in particular, Holland Taylor and Mark Roberts, and I just think I can't even consider a possibility in that medium yet. I have to wait. For film, I've been asked, do I enjoy drama over comedy or vice versa? I've no preference. I wouldn't mind doing a movie where I got the guy. I've never done that before. And it feels good, I know. So I might want to do that.
Are you doing some film now?
No. I'm having a wonderful vacation where I don't have to be anywhere Monday.
Do you have any idea when this vacation is ending?
No, I don't. See, that's about that Monday that isn't there.
Are you doing that, Brian De Palma?
Funny, I was very excited about that project when a journalist told me that I was in the middle of filming it. And I immediately called my agent and said, you've got to call Brian De Palma. Apparently, he's been directing me for 3 weeks on a brilliant script that he wrote, and I'm starring opposite Liam Neeson, Brad Pitt, and Madonna. Get on it, will you?
Yeah.
And she called back with the sorry news that Brian De Palma also had not heard of this project, but liked the title, Ambrose Trample. So maybe he'll write it yet.
Is there anyone in particular who you'd like to work with?
There's quite a few, and I'd hate to limit myself to one by naming the other. I always wanted to work with David, but I think in marrying him, I've screwed myself. I don't think it's a good idea that we work together until we're ready to make Mr. and Mrs. Bridge. At this point, I think...
Why not if that writes the script?
I don't think it's smart. I just don't. I think we have a tough enough time, or I do anyway, trying to convince people of a new reality. We're both on television. Our private lives are not altogether secret, and I think it's hard. You, as we say, you break down that fourth wall. And I've enough on my plate. And I also think that I like to come home at night to David, and that ground is unsullied and uncolored by Hollywood. It's very separate.
Why don't you go abroad? Travel.
I think that sounds like a great idea.
I just came back from Stonehenge. It was quiet, peaceful, and there.
Yeah. Thank you. I might pick up on that.
And Jane Seymour lives right by or something back. So.
Okay.
Oh, you can rent her house.
She's always renting a house. I'm not kidding you. She's got a house in L.A. that she's been renting for years. God.
Didn't Jim Brooks buy a project that you were associated with? Are you going to be involved with that?
I don't know. We're wondering what to do. The option has run out on that project. with the novelist. So we'll see. I still believe in this project. But I think that it is such a long process to go from, I think usually, to go from book to film. It's a long road.
So the script, you couldn't come up with a good script?
No, we never even got to a script. We were sort of wrestling with who we wanted to write this, and it was difficult. This is actually kind of a Noises Off meets Flirting with Disaster meets Married to the Mob. I don't know how else to put it. It's just the timing in this is very important. It's a difficult script. It'll not be forgotten, but it'll just take a little time to get that one going, I think.
Are there any typecasting barriers you run up against? If you buy like this movie, Flirting with Disaster, I would say no, but from your point of view,
well, it's not so much what I've been typecast in. But I can tell you I've been typecast out of a few things. I'll never be hired as a cheerleader. I've come to terms with that, and I know it. Beyond that, I think that I have had luck. It doesn't sound maybe offhand that luck would have to be involved, but it is. I've been lucky. People have been willing to take a chance on me.
Has David, have you moved on to Vancouver now?
No. April 29th, 4 o'clock.
Freedom.
Well, I don't know about freedom, but home. He'll be home.
And the dog.
And Blue. Have you met Blue?
No.
David, Blue goes on anywhere. She's this brilliant dog that actually, when she's on set of The X-Files and hears rolling, she'll stop walking because of her nails. And then she'll hear action, and she'll stop panning. I mean, that's amazing. She'll go, and then sit there, and then she'll hear cut, and go, and trot over to craft service. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, she grew up on the X-Files set. She's a great dog.
Never interrupts you.
No, no. And also, it's difficult for dogs, you know, because occasionally David's being shot at or tackled, and Blue doesn't like to see that. But she holds her tongue. She seems to have an incredible concept, more so than many people I know, of the boundaries between reality and fantasy.
Has there been talk of casting her in an episode of The X-Files?
Well, her father works on The X-Files. David really wanted to keep her out of the industry. You know,
she's... Does she have an agent yet?
No, no. We'll wait till she's 18. She can make up her own mind.
Are you will we be able to move into a completely renovated house or in the middle of?
Well, I'll tell you that a couple of weeks ago my mother came out from New York and we made all the new pillows for the living room. And then there's not a chandelier in the joint either. But I love to do that kind of thing, you know. My mother is, she's a big help, mostly because she's such a big motivator. I don't know what it is, but the older my mother gets, the earlier she gets up and the later she stays out, the harder she parties, and the more energy she has. I don't get it. Anyway, she's exhausting at the end of the week, you know, and we've repainted, we've built a barn, we've made pillows for everything, we've slip covered, we've made bottom skirts for beds and curtains and made my mother actually gave me a silk screen to make my own stationery with. At the end of the week I really have to say, Mother, you've got to go, you're killing me. But
is she an actress?
No, she's a nutritionist.
What motivated you to get into acting?
Your wife is a nutritionist, isn't
she?
Yeah. Isn't it fun having them around?
Yeah.
You can just go like this. You can take two items and go good, bad, good, bad, okay. I'm sorry.
What motivated you to get into acting in the first place?
I was motivated later on in my career. I was dared to get into it. And by a friend in Boston who dared me to go on a cattle call for the remake of Charlie's Angels. I couldn't pass up a dare like that. It was too good. It was too juicy. And that's how I got there.
But it never got made.
No.
What was the pilot?
Never got made. But I will tell you, having read, I think, a healthy load of scripts over the last 8 to 10 years, it was one of the funniest. It was a great tongue-in-cheek look at the old series, and it was very funny. Oh, well.
Well, maybe you buy that instead of buying up it.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Are you objective enough now when you see a finished product to judge yourself as if it's not you?
No, and I need to grow up just a bit more. I'm not there yet. And I'm disappointed in myself that I'm not. It's not an attractive quality, and I think it's misunderstood almost as an arrogance or a vanity. I promise you neither is true. But somehow I'm still not comfortable, and I'm still not fair about it. If I were to try and solve and help myself, I'd say that I was trying to make it as be as hard on myself as possible so that even the harshest criticism would be still an improvement from my own review. I don't know.
Thanks.
Ending on a psychological note.
Yeah,
no, not at all.